Adonai Elohim, Abba Father. And fathers, we stand before you. We ask for your forgiveness and mercies and grace. We submit to you our spirit, soul, and body and flesh as a living sacrifice and repent for those foolish things that we have done that have offended you. Wash us with the blood of Christ. Heal us with your stripes. Unloose us from the bonds of deceptions and entanglements and affairs of this world, letting your anointing break every yoke of bondage as we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Open eyes, open ears, open hearts. Expose, remove. We submit to you. Do your surgery on each and every one of us tonight. Cut those things out that are offensive to you. Bring healing to the mind. Bring healing to the heart. Bring healing to the body. Loose us from bondage. Loose us from ourselves. Empty us of pride and arrogance and ignorance, that we may be filled with you. Because there's nothing without you. We have tried and we have failed every time. So Lord, fill us afresh tonight and establish the heart, mind, character, image, and likeness of Christ Jesus in each and every one of us. Yes. Yes. Oh, everybody, make sure your right hand is up. Yes. I saw things being put into the sword tonight. He's imparting things, revelations, into the sword. In other words, it's almost like putting bullets in a gun. No, there was things hanging from the sword, and some people had weeds hanging from the sword. Some people have snakes around their sword, but the snakes are not dead. There are swords that are rusting. There are swords that have not been used, and they weigh heavy on you. But the Lord is breaking and shaking and wiping off all of that stuff off of that sword tonight. He says, I am moving fast. I am moving faster. I am bringing things faster. My judgments are faster. That which you have seen, not only in this country, but globally, you'll see more. For we have not only entered the beginning of sorrows, but we are going through. And I am preparing my church faster. Faster. So I've come to clean the sword tonight, that you may battle according to my word and be submissive to my to your obedience unto me. For I am moving quickly. You cannot fight in the flesh. You fight in the spirit. So I've come tonight, says the Lord, to clean the sword, anoint you, and remove those things that are offensive to me. But I won't remove anything you're not cooperating with me. I will never force your freedom, but I will offer it. Thank you, Master. Thank you. Thank you. Now, whatever it is that you know that the Lord has just exposed to you, ask Him to remove it. Let Him show you what it is. Is it fear, bitterness, unforgiveness? What is it that's been hanging on your sword preventing you from removing it the way you should? What's preventing you from battling? For if you're not in a battle, you become a casualty. Now, Master, we lay these things before you and everything that's on that sword, that it may be wiped clean, anointed, and ready for battle. Grant us a pure heart and clean hands tonight, Master. A pure mind. That we may be about your business as you move quickly. That we may be able to stand in this time and season that we are entering. And we promise, Master, to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, hallelujah! How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. How many of y'all in the battle? Praise God. And the battle continues. The Bible says a war broke out in heaven. Hello. It's still going on, you know. Tell your neighbor, look at the battle still going on. Let me share with you something very important. We won the war because Jesus won. But it doesn't mean that we're not the battle. We still have to cooperate with God because we're still going through it, aren't we? Hallelujah. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians 9? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, we've talked about executing judgments and things of the battle and the transitions that are happening right now and how the Spirit is moving, and we always want to be able to be led by the Spirit, and especially in the shifts and the changes of what He does. One of the things is the human nature doesn't like change. It likes to be comfortable. And God is not only shaking, but He's awakening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19, let's read this together. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews, and to those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this is very powerful, because one of the things that we've talked about is we are called. Everyone has a call, right? Our call is to what? Battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and our destiny is to infiltrate the world system with God's given talents and abilities that He's given me and you. And this is what Paul was talking about right here. He said, I became many things. In other words, he was utilizing the talents that God had given him to be able to infiltrate to rescue souls. Let's go on a little further. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Is everybody with me? Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. In other words, I'm not running without a purpose. I'm not running unknowingly. Thus, I fight, not as one beats the air, but I what? I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, please grab hold of this tonight in the area that we have talked about engagement and warfare, and I want to share some rules of engagement, which are essential. Rules of engagement. And Paul said, I became many things. Again, he uses his talents and abilities to infiltrate the system. And there are rules of engagement. And the first rule that he mentions right here is called discipline. Discipline. The first rule of engagement is to be disciplined and consistent. And I want to share a little bit about discipline and consistency. One of the things we always want to be is disciplined and consistent of judging ourselves and denying ourselves. Judging ourselves and denying ourselves. Has everybody got it? We want to be consistent and disciplined in all things, but one of the areas that we want to be consistent and disciplined also is to judge yourself. Judge yourself and deny yourself. And the self is associated with the old man. Judging yourself and denying yourself, the old man of self, cannot engage in any spiritual military action. Has everybody got it? The old man of self, it's associated with flesh, cannot engage in any military action, spiritual action. Has everybody got this? In other words, flesh cannot engage in spiritual warfare. It's impossible. And many people try to engage flesh in the warfare, and it doesn't work. So the only way that you can engage in the spiritual warfare is to be in the Spirit. So in this, there's an area where you and I, to maintain walking in the Spirit, we must be disciplined in judging ourself and denying self, which will allow us in that arena of the Spirit realm to engage in warfare. So the first rule we talk about is to be what? Disciplined. Disciplined and consistent. In Philippians 3, Philippians chapter 3, rules of engagement. This is warfare engagement. This is not marriage engagement. Although there are rules for that too. Philippians 3, verse 13. Would you read it with me, please? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on what? Earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. The second rule of engagement is to maintain a forward look. In other words, you don't go look past, you look in the future. You're always looking in the future. You're not looking in your past, not looking in the back. Let me share this with you. So we set our minds of the eternal home, on the eternal home. We are looking. In other words, we are citizens of an eternal kingdom. But setting our minds of the eternal home, not fearing any loss of the temporary. setting our minds in the eternal, not fearing any loss of the temporary. You know why people fear loss of the temporary? Because their minds are set on the temporary. That means if their minds are set in the temporary, they cannot engage in spiritual warfare because they're in the flesh. Does everybody grab hold of this? So when your mind is set on the eternal, are you getting this? You are able to access the eternal so that you can engage in warfare. But one of the things that the enemy loves to do is try to get you to look behind. He tries to get you to look behind and turn you right around. So we want to keep setting our mind, looking forward in the things of the eternal, knowing that our home is not here. We're only passing through here. Because when we begin to look behind, something happens. It disqualifies our military engagement. It what? It disqualifies our military engagement. One of the things the enemy always tries to do is bring you to you. And woe is me. Once he can bring you to you, you lose sight. So in this fight, we're always setting our minds on the eternal things. And by setting your mind on the eternal things allows you to enter into that realm to engage. So the enemy will always try to come up and bring that area and get your, turn your focus, turn your mind towards your past, which disqualifies our military engagement of action, and it exposes, in other words, it allows the enemy to have access to us in certain areas, especially in despair, discouragement, unworthiness, loneliness, oppression, lack, and all the other things that he's bringing you to you to bring you to a woe is me condition. If he can get you to, and let me tell you, when you, he gets you in this condition, he doesn't shoot little fiery darts at you. He comes with harpoons. Because he knows if he can get you in that condition, you cannot engage in warfare. So he knows that you're out of engagement in a warfare, a spiritual warfare, and he tries to wipe you out. He tries to get you to go back to the past. Remember, the enemy can only attack you from the past. Amen. He can't attack you from the future. He attacks you from the past. And one thing we don't want to do is be disqualified in the engagement. Go to Galatians 5. So we've got to engage according to the rules. So there's rules of engagement, aren't there? So the first rule that we want to maintain here, and I'm not saying that there are more rules and guidelines by the Spirit, but I'm sharing with you, I just want to share 8 of them. 8 being a new beginning. And the first one, I really believe, is discipline and consistency. And the second one is to maintain focus on the eternal, not the present or the temporary. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the what? The truth. This what? Persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the what? The whole lump. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He's saying, who's persuading you? In other words, where is this coming from? Where is this persuasion coming from? He said, I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The third rule of engagement is to recognize the persuasions where they are coming from. Where that impression, it is a persuasion from the unseen realm. It is a constant, I'm sharing with you a constant. Remember that the ruler of this earth is who? Satan. So the impression that is coming against you, especially when you're in engagement in spiritual warfare, when you're engaging in warfare, you can expect that the enemy is going to do everything he can to prevent you from continuing on. So he's going to try to persuade you. He's going to impress you. He's going to try to convince you to look back. He's going to try to persuade you in many areas, in lust, fear, and anything that he can to get you off course. Remember, we must recognize these things. So when you get involved in spiritual warfare, one of the rules of engagement is you must constantly recognize and be prepared that if you're in battle, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance in every area. And he doesn't come to you in the areas that you're weak on. He comes to you in the areas you're strong on. Why? Because you're not paying attention to the areas you're strong. You're paying attention to the areas you're weak.
Well, I'll never do that. That doesn't bother me.
Oh, really? Wait.
Well, I don't lust anymore. You know, I don't use drugs anymore. That doesn't even bother me.
Wait. See, where you think you're strong is where he attacks because you're not paying attention to it. Why? Because he's got your focus on other things. He's always trying to persuade you to infiltrate that arena of your mind, of your emotions, to move you in another direction. He begins to hit you about your family. He begins to hit you about all kinds of other things, finances, every area, anything that he can hit you with and move you off course, that's what he does. You know, some of us have lost loved ones. He tries to remind you of that all the time. Some of us have hurt people. Some of us, we've been hurt. He tries to bring that up to you. But is that past or future? That's past, isn't it? That's past. So in this, we must, the third rule of engagement is to understand that, to recognize that persuasion that is going to come to you from the unseen enemy. And it is constant to every military engagement. It is constant. You and I must take dominion and authority that we have inherited and muzzle the voices of the enemy. Take your authority. Muzzle the voices of the enemy. How about the voices of memory? Flesh, soul, and emotion. Spirits. They all have a voice, don't they? Man, I'm telling you, there's voices all over the place. You must take your dominion and authority and muzzle, bind, and mute those things. That's our responsibility, isn't it? Go to Psalm 55. Rules of engagement. Psalm 55.
And verse 16. Let's read this together, please. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall what? He shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me, many voices, huh? God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old, because they do not change. Therefore, they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with me. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart.
His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. This is your enemy. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall what? Sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust you. You know, as we go through transitions, and we're in a transition right now, and in between transitions, there's a place, and an, even an engagement, in warfare engagement, of a transition, because we go from one engagement to another. And in these transitions of engagement, it seems like nothing's happening. And the impressing persuasion to change course is afflicting your soul. We must cast it on the Lord and trust him. His sustaining power kicks in to carry and uphold you until further engagement. You know, it's almost like, you know, when you're getting ready to move somewhere, you know, you've been living in a place for a while, and so you're getting ready to move. But you haven't moved yet, so in that transition, there's something you're doing. You're boxing. And you know what you're boxing? Memories. You're boxing all of these memories and things that were associated with it. This is where the Lord is going to sustain you as you're going through the transition to the next engagement. But during that transition, sometimes it feels like, man, where's God? What's happening? You know? you know, sometimes it's almost like, well, man, I feel lonely. I feel unworthy. I feel goofy. Did I something wrong? Why is this happening? I don't understand, Lord. You don't have to understand. You just must know that he is sustaining you and upholding you. He will carry you through as you're boxing up those memories. But the thing is you're not going to bring them to the next engagement. Even in engagements, more things are exposed. You know, in battles, things get exposed to us, don't they? So what we're going to do is start boxing them up. But we're not UPSing them ahead. Okay? We're going to take those. Why? Because we want to create new memories, don't we? So we're just going to take those and we're just going to ship them right to the Dead Sea. Hallelujah. All memories are being boxed up so that you and I can move ahead. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the what? Whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. Did you put your armor on today? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Those are six parts right there. But there is a seventh part. Seven mean complete and perfect. And the seventh part is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, which is representation of praying in tongues.
being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And as for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The fourth rule of engagement is to maintain clean and updated armor. Updated. I'm going to share this with you, so hang tough. Spiritual knowledge is technology. Does everybody got it? Spiritual knowledge is technology in the spirit realm. It is technology. You know, the world has technology, but I'm telling you, the technology in the spirit realm is called spiritual knowledge. It's revelation knowledge, which is technology. And you and I are to keep updated. We are to keep things clean. Keep our heart clean, our hands clean, and keep that armor on. You know, if you read all the parts of the armor, it talks about truth and faith. Well, what are you supposed to do? It's supposed to increase, isn't it? And as it increases, you'll find out you'll be able to see things differently. Why? Because it's technology. It's technology of new weapons in the area where God gives you more strategies. He shows you things. Maintain clean and updated armor. Spiritual knowledge is technology. The more revelation, the more you're able to upgrade your weapons. God has given you and I weapons. Not only keys to bind and loose, but weapons. His name, His word, and His blood. Those are weapons. But there are areas He's also not only given us weapons for engagement, but He's also given us tools of ministry called gifts of the Spirit, which He's allowed me and you the ability to engage in. We're going to go more into that later. In fact, we have a new teaching called Breaking Out, new package. We're going to break out, man, and not in pimples. We're going to break out. Hallelujah. So in this, God is we're pressing in and He's releasing revelation to me and you. It is technology. Has everybody got this? This is eternal technology. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Verse 11. Let's read this together. Romans 13, 11. And do this knowing that the what? That the time now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of what? Darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Nice. One of the things in this is what I want to call the fifth rule of engagement, is that you and I are to know the season and the time of the season. Because we go through seasons, and everybody has a specific season that they're going through. And in this, we must know these things and where we stand and what's happening. Where we're standing in the season right now, at the time of the season. You know that many of the body of Christ doesn't even know what's going on. They have no idea prophetic timeline. There's a lot of people that don't know. You know, I was ministering in the jail today. And when I was in the jail today, the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to tell them where we are, what season and what time it is, and the time of the season. And the season, globally and spiritually, is the beginning of sorrows. And we've been in it. And we're getting ready to come out of it soon. And the next season will be tribulation, and the next of that will be great tribulation. But there are certain things that are happening, and in these seasons, there's a time of that season. And man, when I began to share about this, dudes were coming off their bunks. I mean, there was maybe 15 guys there. Next thing I know, there was about 30. And I shared with them about the only way out of this whole ordeal is through Jesus Christ. So I had sheets on there about prophetic timeline and what the ruling spirits were and all kinds. You know, most people don't even understand the ruling spirits of what's going on. And in the beginning of sorrows, there's so many revelations and parallels with Pharaoh, who was the ruling spirit at that time and is now during the beginning of sorrows. And if you look at all the things and even God's judgments, with the plagues and so forth. You know, look at all the things that are going on. Do you know that in April and May, there's been 910 tornadoes in 2 months? That's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? Look at all the floods. Look at everything that's going on. Look at the disasters that are going on. And there'll be pestilence and earthquakes and all kinds of disasters going on. These are judgments that are awakening. These are not the wrath of God. These are just judgments that are awakening. Isn't that the same thing that happened during Pharaoh's time? What was he doing? What was God doing? Let my people go. You know, Egypt represented the world and the world of bondage. And right now, all these shakenings that are going on and these judgments are awakening people. But it's amazing how many people are still sleeping, even in the body. They're still caught up in themselves. Because their focus is not on eternal, it's on temporary. So it's a responsibility for me and you to know time and season and the times of the season that we're in. And in this, you will be able to understand the transitions and shifts of the spirit to expose the enemy's strategies. God will release to you through revelation knowledge to expose the enemy's strategies. And of course, we do this by prayer, praise, and fellowship. You know, the feasts of the Lord are signs of prophecy also. Many believers don't even know what the feasts are. And the seven feasts.
Oh, but we don't need to know that stuff. That was the Old Testament. No, the Old Testament was the shadow of what was to come. So it is your responsibility and my responsibility to know what the feasts represent. Why? Those are the Lord's visitations in those areas. Only Jesus can fulfill the feasts. And the next feast to be fulfilled is the Feast of Trumpet.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So again, the fifth rule of engagement is to know season and times of the season. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rules of engagement. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. But concerning the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need that I should write to you. Why? Because they already knew it. It doesn't mean that they didn't need to know. They already knew it. For you yourselves, what? Know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in what? Darkness. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be what? Sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to what? Wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore,
comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, but at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are what? Unruly. Warn them. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. And be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. And abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of grace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, don't lose sight of who you are. So even in these areas of times and seasons, there's that area, wait a minute, because you're always looking what? Forward. So you're not losing who you are. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror. It says who is in you is greater than he is in the world. See, even those two scriptures can move you forward. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Just by your confession, you're opening a vortex. You're bringing light forward. And darkness is separating.
Well, I didn't see that.
Oh, you little faith. You know, when you speak God's word, light comes forth. That's why the prophets clapped. They were shooing away the demons so that the presence of God could come. Acts 13. Acts 13. Rules of engagement. Is everybody there? Let's read this together, verse 1, Acts 13, verse 1, hallelujah. Now in the church that was Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who's called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and what? Fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they what? Sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. In the sixth rule of engagement, never go unless you're sent. Too many people go without being sent. And they go into traps. Never go unless you are sent. It may have a sense of looking good, but I'm going to tell you, it will catch up with you. Never go unless you are sent. And never get in a ring with the enemy unless the Lord sends you in. And he's with you. Are you listening? And believe me, we have had dreams about that and powerful testimonies on that. People try to engage. And they don't even realize if God didn't send you, then you're engaging in the flesh. And then things happen.
Oh, I don't get it. The word says go do this.
Yes, the word says go do this. But did God send you?
Well, I don't know. I did it by faith.
No, you did it by assumption, because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So if he told you to go, then he's with you, right? If he didn't tell you to go, he's not with you. And one thing you don't want to do is be backed by the flesh. You want to be backed by the anointing. You know, it was powerful because we had this event where people went this weekend. And the Lord sent them. And they were witnesses out there. It was very, very powerful. And in this, they became witnesses out there by just what they did. Just what they did. They prayed together. People saw it. And their labor and work was so unified that those who were not saved looked at them like, whoa, what's with these people? You know, we didn't have to do a salvation call out there. The testimony was sufficient. But religion would like to come up to you and say, did anybody get saved? How many were you out there witnessing? Did anybody get saved? Oh, you religious spirit, you. Hallelujah. Again, never go unless you're sent. Because if you're sent, you're protected. That's the sixth rule. Go to 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Let's just read this together, please. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexandra, whom I deliver to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So in this, here we go again about being sent. In other words, hands were laid on, prophetic word came, they were sent. For what? Good warfare. For what? Good warfare. Why? God sent them to engage in warfare. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Glory. In verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the what? Saints. So why the people were out there in these righteous acts, they were a testimony in itself. Not by what they spoke, but how they acted. And then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and your brethren, who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Oh, hallelujah. These were the righteous acts, clean and bright linen. Not self-righteous. I said righteous acts. Not self-righteous. Because self-righteous puts limitations. See, we want to keep those limitations that try to bind us and prevent us from going forward. And there are limitations of religion, traditions of men, false expectations. And they interfere with the true righteous acts of God's saints. We need to shake off these limitations of religiosity. Jesus never came to bring religion. He came to bring a kingdom. We're about kingdom business, not religion business. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. In verse 1. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. I will bless the Lord only when I'm in trouble. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's good to listen. But the Bible says that the high praises ought to be in our mouth with the two-edged sword in our hand. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're listening. How about partaking? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. Why? Because fear brings limitations. They looked to him and were what? They looked to him. I'm telling you, looking to him. They looked to him and were radiant. Man, you can tell somebody who just got done praising and worshiping the Lord, and man, they're just full of joy and they're glowing. You can tell somebody who just was at the same place but didn't participate. Hey, man, how was it for you? You know why? All the demons that were hanging on everybody else went into that person. They needed to get fed because they couldn't get fed from us anymore, so they had to go somewhere. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Yeah, but you don't know mine. Well, you should have participated, and you wouldn't have any. Because you wouldn't give a hoot. You'd be filled and drunk in the spirit. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. I said fear him. Reverence, respect, and honor him. And delivers them. Ooh, you know that angel can kill 180,000 people? What you worried about? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The seventh rule of engagement is we need to maintain the fear of the Lord in reverence, respect, and honor. Knowing that whatever decision we do, he must always be before us. Just like David said, the Lord always before me. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it first. So if we always acknowledge that the Lord is before us, if he's there, we maintain the fear of the Lord so we won't make stupid decisions. Hello? We won't go back. That's not an option anymore, is it? Maintain the fear of the Lord and know that the angel camps around us who fear him. Depart from evil and keep a humble spirit. That's how you maintain the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Rules of engagement. Don't pet evil, whatever you do. We're to hate evil, right? Second Corinthians chapter 6. Is everybody there? Start at verse 4. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, and distresses, in stripes, and imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, in sleeplessness, and fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. That's us. That's us. See, when you're not looking at you, you have everything. The only reason why we want to look at ourselves is to judge ourselves of where we are and deny ourselves so we can go forward. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. And this is the eighth rule of engagement. Eight meaning new beginnings. In verse 6. Let's read this together. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to what? Share your bread with the hungry. Now, I want to share something with you. In this, there's nothing wrong with fasting of food. But there's an area of denying self is associated with fasting also. In other words, there are things that you might not want to do, but God wants you to do. And in this, he's saying, listen, isn't this the fast that I've called for you on this? Get out there and feed the poor. Undo the heavy burdens, right? Is it not that you share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you what? Cover them. See, because you're going to have to give up things of yourself. And not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your what? Rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That is the fast of new beginning, the eighth rule of new beginning. And in this, we fast. We fast. Everybody got it? We fast. And in this fast, there could be a denial of food, a denial of pleasures. But in this fast, we feed, we clothe, and we shelter. In other words, we give of ourselves to those who are in need. The Bible says, so in what? reap. The word says if you consider the poor, he will sustain you on your sickbed. And in our transitions and the things that God is raising us up for is to prepare to train up the homeless. So total freedom is a place where people will get trained to train up the homeless. We'll go more than that later. I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he what? He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. In other words, engage. Resist him steadfast. Like, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be misled. Don't go astray. Don't be persuaded. Don't compromise. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Turn to your neighbors and say, I know you're going through too. Hallelujah. So you're not the only one, are you? In verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a little. Come on, it's just a little. After you, after you've been exposed, after you have suffered a while, after you finally got your eyes off of yourself, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Rules of engagement. Learn it so you don't get burned. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Master, that this seed of impartation would be protected by the blood of the Lamb, and that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. And as we practice the rules of engagement, Lord, that we maintain a stable, consistent, non-compromising engagement, obedience to your sending, and not alone, but with you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.